This is Category 5 Community Coffee Break. Good afternoon or good morning or wherever it is in your time zone. I'm BP9. On my view, at least to my this side, is Doug. And then below him, thanks Doug for the wave, below him is Peter. Give us a wave, Peter. Thank you, sir. And then down here is Solbu. Give us a wave, Solbu. Oh, that'll work. Coffee will work. Yeah, absolutely. I was chatting with you, Doug, before we got started, and hello to your cat. I see him there, him or her in your lap. I see the ears poking up into the picture right there. So he or she may make a – is she a she? Is that right?
It's a she.
She's a she. Nice.
This is Maddie.
There she is. Hi. Ah, Robert's here. Good. We have questions. Maybe he'll have answers. Jolly good. So good. I'm looking. That's excellent. I wasn't sure if he was going to make it this week. Hello, Sir Robert. How are you, sir? Uh-oh. He can't hear us. Hello, Robert. Do you hear us?
Yeah.
There you are. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome.
It's been some time.
I'm so sorry that we're messing with your other appointment. I did not mean to do that.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. Absolutely. Seriously, don't worry.
Okay. Good. Okay. So I have questions, and I'm sure the rest of the crowd does too. So let me, if you don't mind, I'll start with the questions, and then if anyone else wants to throw some questions in, we can do that.
Perfect.
So primary. Oh, you're hanging out outside. Oh my! I thought it was pretty rainy out there, and I wasn't sure if you were gonna.
No, it's been. We had fantastic weather here.
Very nice.
So it's a little bit overcast, but not too bad.
Very nice.
Oh.
So my questions primarily revolve around the everyday uses of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And the sorts of questions I have are related around the wallets, for instance. I don't have any Bitcoin, and I don't know if I'm going to invest or anything like that. But when I first saw it, my first thought was, this would be an excellent everyday use currency, something you would normally use for cash, instead of cash. But I'm not sure that I'm seeing any particular I'm not sure that I'm seeing widespread use of it. It seems to be used more and more for an investment type vehicle rather than for day-to-day use.
Yeah.
Would you like to throw some comments in there?
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. I mean, the initial setup of Bitcoin was that it was meant to buy a cup of coffee as you are drinking one.
Right. So it is coffee break after all.
Yeah. as a monetary value. But that has changed significantly. So Bitcoin is exclusively now store of value. So nobody's using it to buy something. I mean, you can buy a house, for example, or a car with Bitcoin, but nobody else does use it on a day-to-day basis because of the value. Yeah, one Bitcoin is $32,000.
Right.
And also, every transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain is around $7 to $20. So, a cup of coffee that costs $2 will cost you $22 because of the fees. Now, having said that, there are two solutions that run parallel. One is to use a credit card type of scenario. So there are companies where you deposit the Bitcoin, and they are still yours, and you have got a credit card. And you pay with a credit card, and at that moment they deduct then the lower value, so the $2, like through the Visa network, from your credit card, from your Bitcoin account. Yeah, so that's one way how to use it. And
the problem with that is that you're still relying on someone else to actually transfer the funds. In this case, Visa. And the whole point is that wasn't really the vision for Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, but those times have changed. So it's now the old world mixing a little bit with the new world.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So this libertarian ideal of creating a global currency that everybody can use, there are alternatives that are much better than Bitcoin. And also Bitcoin created a so-called second layer that is a layer above Bitcoin, which is called the Lightning Network, mm-hmm. which is currently still in development. But there you can use it to buy a cup of coffee. So there is no problem to use the Bitcoin to buy a cup of coffee through the Lightning Network. But then the vendor has to be, and that will happen. Yeah. So the fees there are then, again, 10 cents or even less than that for a cup of coffee. Right. And it's immediate. Yeah. In the case of Bitcoin, you have to wait 10 minutes minimum to have a confirmation. Mm-hmm. And with the Lightning Network, it's immediate.
Okay. What was the, what was the other scenario before I interrupted you? You mentioned one scenario.
Yeah, the credit card.
Okay. So my experience with Bitcoin wallets is that they tend to, the Bitcoin wallet that I downloaded many, many years ago, downloaded like 40 gigabytes of blockchain data in order to, mm-hmm. in order to make it work. And the whole idea was that the blockchain, every node was supposed to verify the blockchain. I'm guessing that's also changed quite a bit as well.
That's true. I mean, if you're a true Bitcoiner, then you have got your full node with you and the wallet is on the full node. Mm-hmm. But that has changed because people don't want to wait several hours until they're synced. No? So,
Go ahead.
You have got, let's say, software wallets or hardware wallets. And then the vendor, like, let's say, an example, Trezor is a vendor. That vendor then has got the full node for you. So you're relying on them, which is okay because if they do something wrong, then they would be dead immediately because nobody would use them anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but that you have to download and sync with Bitcoin, that's not the case anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, you have got full nodes and then small nodes, and sometimes you don't even have that.
I know that my Android wallet, I used to have an Android wallet. I guess I still do if I remember the private key. The passcode for the private key. There's no Bitcoins in it, so I'm not that worried. But I'm not in the position of the poor fellow who chucked his hard drive out into the landfill with 50 Bitcoins or something like that on it.
Yeah, I think it was millions of Bitcoins.
Yeah, 200 million US dollars.
Wow.
That is nuts.
With that, yeah, you could almost buy a flat in New York cash.
I cannot imagine that would be. But then again, I mean, the point is, it's currency. It's digital currency.
Yeah.
It's backed by more trust than I think even the US dollar is at this point, right?
Absolutely. That's one thing, and it's also by far more secure than any other thing that is out there,
mm-hmm.
because of the blockchain.
And would you say that is true of any cryptocurrency? I mean,
No.
If Bitcoin was running out, like I was doing a little bit of research before the coffee break started, and if Bitcoins are run out in, what is it, 21? Stand by just one second here. I muted the wrong person. There. Just because Peter was, I'm sorry, Doug, you're going to have to unmute yourself there because I muted you by accident. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Thank you, sir. There's more trust. We already talked about the trust. Okay. That pretty much covers the various questions. I know I have an Android wallet somewhere. and I'm going to have to go find the Bitcoin application that uses it. But I don't know about a Linux version. My Linux version is it's the one that downloaded the entire blockchain, and I'm not sure I need that anymore. Do you have any suggestions, Robert, for Linux?
Yeah, we've got two scenarios here. If you're getting serious about cryptos, then the only solution for you is a hardware wallet, and there are two. One is Trezor, and the other one is Ledger. Yeah, okay. And if you're planning to invest more than 10,000, then those are the only solution. I mean, they cost around $100 or so.
Okay.
And if you're planning to buy one, only buy them on the website of the manufacturer.
Yeah.
I've heard that if you buy it to Amazon, they might be compromised. So those are the two. And if you're under 10,000, then use a wallet that is like Exodus or so that offers you the comfort of many other applications in one go. A pure Bitcoin wallet unless you're really a Bitcoin maximalist and you don't believe in Ethereum and any other currency, is not advisable. There are other wallets that offer by far more GUI than the pure Bitcoin ones.
So if I were to get into Bitcoin, my use case would be primarily to see if it was, to make it easy for me to transfer money to my siblings over in Australia or something like that. Is that something you would still recommend Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency for? Of course, the difficulty is having them figure out how to use Bitcoin at their end and reconvert it to their own fiat currency.
Yeah, you have got stablecoins also. So Bitcoin I would not use for that, but you can use a stablecoin. There is, for example, Tether, which is currently a little bit debated, but it's the third largest currency.
Can you spell that for me? What is that stablecoin you said?
Stable.
Oh, stablecoin. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a coin that's linked to the US dollar. So the Tether coin is always one-to-one with the US dollar. Oh, and there are a few others. There's also USDC. That's even regulated by the US authorities. And there you can just transfer dollars over to your relatives in Australia, and then they've got the dollars. The only thing they need to find, which is usually never a problem for Australia, it's definitely not a problem, is to convert those US dollars into Australian dollars. Yeah, so...
Most banks will do that.
I don't think banks will do that, but you've got exchanges, and those exchanges are then linked to a bank account. The same.
When you say convert US dollars, you mean convert the cryptocurrency back to Australian dollars, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So they have I keep calling them Bitcoin ATM, but that's not going to work necessarily for this particular coin. They have to go through an exchange of some sort then, right?
Yeah. And also ATMs are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never use an ATM. You lose too much money there. No,
I
but they're
exactly
very,
the same.
Yeah, they're very, I mean, here in North America, so Canada and also Europe, we've got Kraken is, for example, a fantastic exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And very low fees, fantastic customer support. You can sign up literally within half an hour. You've got an account. It's a really good exchange, and they've been in this market for a long time. So you can open an account there, and then buy Tether and transfer them.
It does require that you connect a bank account to your Kraken account. Correct?
No, not forcibly.
Okay. How do you convert fiat currency then to Bitcoin or whatever currency you want?
I do that with wire transfers because my bank here is one of those old-fashioned ones that doesn't like cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
So I once linked my bank account to a crypto exchange, and they closed my account then.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They didn't like that.
In Norway, too, a few years ago, and it ended up in the court system and... In one of the lower courts, and now the banks can't close your account due to Bitcoin uses anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
So does anyone else have any questions for Robert that I haven't touched on, because I wanted to also talk about when Bitcoin runs out, what's likely to happen there. But I want to give everybody else a chance to ask some questions as well.
I have I just one anecdote about the Wall Street debacle that happened this last week. It's a fun watch, but one of the news items that I read the headline.
You're talking about GameStop.
Yeah,
GameStop and Doge.
Yeah, but the same guys who initiated the GameStop rise have put their eyes on one of the Bitcoin alternatives, and one of the headlines said that they had a realistic ability to have the that currency in the $1 range.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Dogecoin. And Dogecoin is a currency that has got absolutely no use. There's nothing behind that one. So theoretically, that thing should be zero. But people, especially through TikTok and so, the young people are pushing that. And so that grew in less than a year over 1,000% because of the people in TikTok.
Can you explain what you mean when you say there's nothing behind it? You mean you don't have to do any work to earn Dogecoin, or what do you mean by that?
No, if you've got Bitcoin, for example, you've got the store of value and the proof of work, and so there's a big network behind it. Mm-hmm. If you've got Ethereum, you've got smart contracts, so you can do a lot of things behind with Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And every coin has got so its usability. Dogecoin has got absolutely zero usability. You can't do anything with that.
That's because nobody will accept Ethereum.
Dogecoin? No, you can't. Yeah, you can't do anything with it. You can only exchange it. That's all you can do with Dogecoin. Mm-hmm. And so because the logo of Dogecoin is a dog, it became a meme. And because it's a meme, those young people, 20 years, 25 years old, they use that just to be part of it.
Right, right, right. So you could still exchange fiat currency for Dogecoin and back again, right?
Yeah, that you can do.
And if that's all you want it for, then it's a viable option, yes?
Yeah. there are other options like Tether, for example, or so, right, that are far better because the volatility. I mean, if you look at the chart of Dogecoin, it goes up in one day 300%, next day it goes down 50% again. So it's crazy.
But that's even true of Bitcoin. No,
the volatility of Bitcoin is a complete different one. But yeah, it just in 1 year, 1,500% or so, Dogecoin.
Wow.
Because young people just do memes and say, hey, let's push this coin, let's get it to $1. And it's currently, I think, at 8 cents or so.
So bad luck if you bought it at $1, because that'll be worth very little now.
Yeah, but what one can do, latest week's stories have taught us that what one can do is one can short the Dogecoin because if it has $1 and it eventually will go down, then those who have the short positions, it's called, I've learned, they can earn a lot of money by the stock going back down.
But in general, shorting cryptocurrencies or getting long positions is something that is not advisable because the market is extremely unpredictable.
Yes.
And so if you short something and suddenly the price goes in a complete different direction, you lose all your money.
Is what happened with the GameStop. The big hedge funds had a bet on shorting is a bet. I've learned they are betting that their stock is going down, and when it does that, they earn money. But people on a particular Reddit forum where they are actually doing, they are reading public information and they are doing due diligence. They are reading up and verifying that their information is correct. And then they are sharing the information, the public available information in the forum, and people thought that maybe we can stick it to the big, greedy traders this time, and the hedge funds are losing big time money because the stock is going up and not down.
Yeah.
Yes, Doug. Go ahead, sir.
Robert, I was wondering what would be the best Bitcoin to get into for a small investor.
For a small investor at the moment, because we're currently in the beginning of a bull market. Yeah, the bull market is the following: that the price, like Bitcoin, was, I think, when I was here last time on in the break, at 13,000. It went up to 40,000. At the moment, it's at 32,000, and it's predicted to go this year to 100,000. Yeah, wow. So one has to be careful to be part of this bull run, because you know it's a bubble, and after that the price will drop again by 80%. Yeah, so it will come down again. And so if you want to invest, my recommendation is, if you want to learn more about those currencies, then there are many opportunities. Yeah, in DeFi, for example, so finance, you've got coins that will guaranteed do a 10x in the next few months. And
what would that be?
I'll come back to that. And Bitcoin will not do a 10x. Bitcoin, if it does well, because their institutional investors will do a 3x. So for somebody that does not want to learn, just want to invest something, I recommend Ethereum or Cardano. Those are the two ones that are safe bets.
And Cardano.
Or so ADA is the ticker, or ETH, Ethereum. So those two.
And let me just put a quick disclaimer in here, because I know Robbie will likely do that anyway. We are not offering financial advice here.
No,
we are purely just reporting on what we understand is going on in the market, and we are and these are opinions. So correct. we are not offering financial advice, just to make that absolutely clear. Thank
and
you.
Also, one thing to keep in mind at the same time is
before you do that, Solbu, Doug, did you have any other questions? Because you didn't have a chance to throw any questions in. So, did you have any other questions?
Well, is there a specific place I need to go to invest in Ethereum?
Yeah, the only recommendation I can give you is to open an account with Kraken. Don't do it with Coinbase or any other exchange, because they all have got their big issues. Yeah, Coinbase, for example, will sell your data to the IRS, so it's not recommended. Kraken is a very good exchange where you can then wire transfer your money into that exchange and then purchase those coins with that money.
Okay.
Yeah, so Kraken, Cardano, and Ethereum, that's what I am doing.
Okay.
So yeah, now what happens when Bitcoin finally does run out? I know it's not predicted to happen for another 100 years or so yet, but the unit or the proof of work that has to happen to validate transactions will still be a very high a very high task, a very expensive task, right? And that will be true even when all the Bitcoins run out.
Correct.
And that's going to be reflected in higher fees, I'm sure, correct?
Yeah, the fees will go up, of course.
And is that true for all cryptocurrencies? Or?
No. No, they are all working on a different... It's like comparing transport. Yeah, you've got a bus, you've got an airplane, you've got a bus. So the cryptocurrencies are similar. And okay. Bitcoin will, from my point of view, be forever a store of value. Okay. And the second layer, the Lightning Network, will be then the exchange part. And yeah, I mean, we will all not be living anymore by that time when Bitcoin really runs out.
That's true. But Bitcoin has a finite supply. I think it's like 21 million coins or something.
Yeah.
Which can be subdivided into millions and millions of satoshis. Or I think it's 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin is a satoshi, right?
100 million.
100 million. Okay.
Yeah.
Even more than I expected. is that that also true, that finite supply problem, is that also true for other cryptocurrencies as well?
No. No, Ethereum is operating now, especially Ethereum 2.0, will operate on a complete different level. So they have got a different system because they're moving over from proof of work, which they're currently using, over to proof of stake. And so it will be different there. Yeah, so every currency has got its own way of securing the network.
So with proof of stake, you have to prove that you have the equivalent value of the Ethereum that you have somehow. Is that true?
Yeah, you're putting up money to secure the network. So there's an algorithm. It's done through the software, the Ethereum software, and that then secures with your Ethereum the transactions. And if you're a bad actor, you will lose then the money that you put at stake.
Okay.
That's proof of stake.
Interesting. Yeah.
My point was okay. Because I think it has to be said in this debate about if people want to get into this, to learn or to invest. There is an old advice, I think it's over 100 years old advice, that never put more money into this than you can afford to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've only got a couple of minutes left, so last call for questions. If anyone has any additional questions for Robert.
I've got still one remark to the investment side there.
Please go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
Because the difference, I mean, what I see with people that have not been involved in cryptocurrencies and they want to invest something, they come with the old mindset of shares. Mm. That is absolutely not valid anymore. So if you're coming with that mindset, you will have a rude awakening at some time. And why? If you do your research on a currency, so if you go to something like CoinGecko and do some research there, then first thing is the network is extremely important. Yeah, because in the case of Bitcoin, it's easy. But if you go to a currency that is unknown or smaller, like let's say Rook or MahaDAO or whatever, then you have got a complete different network. And if nobody's pushing that network, there's nobody behind it, that thing will not go up in value. Mm. Yeah, so the research is a complete different one. Yeah, you have to compare it with a GME, with a game shop, what happened last week. That's right. Exactly how cryptocurrencies are being pushed and that's how you have to do your research. So it's looking into a currency that has got a great developer team. Management is not that important. It's the developers and the marketing side. So if they have got really good developers that are active, because very many times these projects are open source, so you can check what they're doing. And if you see that network, it's all on GitHub. You can check that they're really active in doing something, then that's a big plus sign. The network has to be big, and also the idea has to be a big one. But if the idea is not big, you will not find many developers supporting that coin anyway.
And it's true also that network has to be supported by developers, not only now, but also in the future as we move forward, because if they lose interest in the project, it sort of goes stale.
There you have got the market that dictates that, because now we're coming into a bull market, or we are already in a bull market. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that now in 2018 and 19, where we had a bear market. Then a lot of people will lose interest and those things will go down. I mean, all other coins, Bitcoin went down by 80-85%, and other coins like Cardano went over 90%, 95% down. From the Cardano was once at $1.30 and it went down to 5 cents. And so that is important from the investment point of view. Yeah. So the time is good to get into cryptos now. Again, no financial advice. But the time is good, but you have to know when to exit this thing. And yes. So from the investment point of view, not from the cryptocurrency, but just from the investment point of view, you need to not be greedy. If you're greedy, you will lose it. You will never time the market correctly anyway. So on the way up, you have to take profits constantly. And on the way down, you have to also take profits. because you never know, because these things can fluctuate 20% in one day or in a few days. So you don't know if this is a bubble that burst or if it's a bear market or it's still bull market. Yeah, so always take profits. Very important.
Okay.
And then you can't, basically you can't lose.
Excellent. Robert, thank you so much for joining us. That's been very informative. I'm sorry we only have 25 minutes. We've already exceeded that, but we had some audio issues at the beginning that I'll edit out, so that'll be fine. No problem at all. One more reminder, we are not offering financial advice. This is purely just our opinion and what we're reporting in the industry right now.
So. Yeah, and it's my experience of what I see in the market, so you don't fall into the same traps, but it's not financial advice, clearly not.
Thank you again. You are welcome to join us anytime, Robert. I would love to.
Thank you.
I would love to ask you more questions and pick your brains even more. So.
Yeah, we can do that next week or in 2 weeks. No, 2 weeks would be difficult, but next week.
All right.
Just invite me back in and we can continue. I love this year. Anyway, it's my passion. I'm doing this year full time. So I'm up. I like those discussions.
So don't forget to check out Robert's Crypto Corner segments that he has every week here on Category 5 TV. And that's it for this week. Thank you again for everybody for participating, and have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.